Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this February 21st, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two, we're going to talk with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, preview their winter production of The Glass Menagerie. Right now in studio, we have with us Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Shane, always good to see you.
Good to see you also. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon. Doing good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. Thank you.
Want to send a shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and stuff and the gang over there. We appreciate the work that they do so much. Do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube, type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and subscribe to their page. Shane, thanks a lot for being in. We got a lot to get into today, especially as we're kind of winding down your run here as mayor. So I want to get into a little bit of those things with you. But first, we just got done with our spring primary yesterday. What have you heard? From what I've heard in town, things went pretty smoothly.
Yeah, you know, I was actually surprised at how low the turnout was. Mm-hmm. You know,
I was a little disappointed by that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, maybe about 1,200 people voted or so. And, it makes for a long day for election workers. But, it's really... You know, under representative democracy, how do you really have good representative democracy when you don't have a lot of people participating? But it was only a primary, and leading candidate Matt Zachary got 64%, and then Tom Hughes got 18%, and the other two, I believe, got like 9%. Mm-hmm, and so it was good strong showing for Matt, and. Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see now the regular election.
Let's get into that, Shane. So what is, for those that don't know and understand the process, what is the next step now for these candidates?
So now what I always say, this is truly where you actually start the campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, and so the candidates will get more into their campaign details and hopefully try to sell themselves to the community. And then in April 2nd, that's when we'll have our general election and we'll see how that turns out.
I think that we learned something in this process. I think as a community, I think a lot of people out there might have. I know I did. One of the things that I've had the honor of, I believe, sitting in this chair and doing this show, is getting to talk to a couple of our mayors, getting to talk to board members and representatives of our community. And one of the things that stood out to me about the position of mayor is have a game plan. Like, have an idea. I'm not at all taking shots here or anything, but if you are ever thinking of running for public office, don't just have one thing. Like, there is a handful of, and it isn't just this run, it's been other runs as well, where we have a candidate come in and they are very passionate about this one particular thing. And I encourage that, no matter what that thing is, whether I agree with it or not, I love seeing passion in our community. I love seeing people that care about our community. And that's where a lot of that stems from, caring about your community. Whatever they're pushing or their agenda is, that's another story. But I love people being interactive and caring about their community. But Shane, I imagine, I remember when you were first running, and I can remember other people running in town here, even ones that I didn't, when I just lived in this town. There's an agenda. There's an idea. I want to do this, this, and this. I have this plan in mind. I have these ideas, et cetera, et cetera. To candidates out there, whether we're talking about the school board or running for mayor, and it's not just here in Rapids. I mean all over the country, wherever you're doing this. Have more than just one thing. This is not something to be taken lightly. I really understand if you want to throw your hat in the ring because you have this one issue and you want to bring attention to that said issue. That's understandable. But there are other ways to do that. In today's day and age, we've got a billion resources of being able to put yourself out there in social media and all this other stuff. I'm curious, Shane, do you feel, one, that it can waste our time as voters when we have only so much time to research these candidates and we have candidates who aren't necessarily, this is just my opinion, taking this seriously?
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in the other two candidates that ran that they didn't participate in the process. And because they chose to run, we had to have an election yesterday. That if they would have chosen not to run, and we wouldn't have had that election.
Exactly.
The city probably spent easily $10,000, $15,000 on holding an election yesterday for two people that, for whatever reason, decided that they didn't want to hold the office. And that's frustrating in that sense, because as taxpayers and a regular voter,
To those, yeah, to those candidates to which we reached out and did hear from at least one of them, mm-hmm. and I talked to them personally on the phone interview with them. You can find those interviews on our Midday Magazine archive at civicmedia.us. We had one candidate who never even reached back to us, who never even got back to us or anything like that. Now, we all understand life gets crazy, life gets busy, we all have jobs and families and lives and et cetera, et cetera. That is all very understandable. Then don't throw your name in the ring. Then don't, nobody made you do this. Like, you chose to do that. I worry that we see more and more of this, not just with local offices, but in the bigger scheme of things too. I believe that, yeah, everybody can be representative. Anybody could be a mayor. Anybody can do this job or that job or what have you. But you do need, you know, people that have a game plan going into these things.
Absolutely. And you need to have some communication skills and some of those things. But yeah, you need to kind of have an idea. You need it. I think more importantly, even so, is you need to have an idea what the responsibilities of that office is and what you need to do once you do get elected, and being aware of that before even starting that process. And then you need to develop maybe a game plan or some, even as simple as disagreeing with the previous person in that office and saying, because I don't believe people go into an election or want to run for office for malicious intent. Mm-hmm. I think in their mind, whether we agree with it or not, they do have a desire to do something different or do it better. You know, I truly fundamentally believe that. But you need to have an idea of at least what that position's requirements are and those responsibilities are.
Yeah, I think it might be the least we could ask of a candidate. Mm-hmm. And again, this is not a shot at other candidates. This isn't a shot at those two particular candidates or anything like
Correct.
This was just an opportunity to talk about this. I saw a window to be able to get into this conversation, because I think a very strong point you just asked, sir, and you and I have been doing this long enough, you got to the question, but your answer before I could get to the question, how much this cost yesterday, that special election we had, which, to your point, we did not necessarily need to have. We had two out of the four candidates that did not, if they took it seriously as a voter, I didn't think that they did. I'm just giving my personal opinion and the opinion I took from 90% of the community when I talked about this. When these four names first got brought out, I did my homework. I did my research, and I asked around town. I looked up these individuals, and all of them seemed like they would have been great mayors. They would have been great candidates.
Yep.
They seem like it. I don't know, because I didn't get to know the two of these candidates. Mm-hmm. And I give a lot of credit to the two candidates that did show up, that did actually take this seriously, if I can put it bluntly.
Yeah, and that's the important part. And, you know, but the other thing I'm learning, though, is, and I guess you know, just because a candidate says something doesn't necessarily mean it's factually true. And so it's important to, you know, take it upon yourself, just because they're saying this, you need to double check that, or you even check with Google or check with family and friends, because I know information that's out there that is factually untrue. And I don't think that's fair to the voters.
No. And it's something that as citizens, we have to take the initiative and do our homework. While the process of voting should never be difficult, to actually physically go out and vote, that should never be a difficult thing.
Totally agree.
Voting itself and making a decision shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't be, well, I'm this party, so I'm, of course, going to vote for this person. No, you should have to do your homework, whatever the position is.
Yeah, a lot of people do the party thing, you know.
And that's fine. That teaches their own. Yeah, it's your vote. You know.
But yeah, I'm just not going to blindly just check a box and say it.
Same here.
Because I'll tell you what, even within both parties, there's a swing from mild to
It's
extreme.
You
know?
Got your hot sauce, and then you got your mild. And
totally agree. And so you have that range in there. And just because you subscribe to one party may not be subscribing to every candidate within that party.
We, in talking with the mayoral candidates, one of the main themes from most of the candidates was, in asking them why do they want to run for mayor, the ATV decision kind of came up in the conversation about that. And I know that we had a decision made on that yesterday with a board meeting. Can we talk about that a
little
bit? Absolutely. Oh, actually, if you don't mind, for those that may not know what we're talking about here with the ATV law that was proposed.
Yeah, so their proposal was to allow UTVs and ATVs to traverse through our city. I think a bulk of it is users within the community wanting to drive to get to trails. And then also the other issue is going from the east side to the west side of the river, you know, we're bound by bridges, and the only bridge in the area that they can cross is Nakusa Bridge. Mm-hmm. And so part of the issue was being able to use Jackson Street and Grand Avenue Bridge as a crossover to get from trails and traverse through the different communities. And so it went to council several months ago, and it was voted down at that point to not allow it. The city had a different ordinance. The two spearhead people, or the two organizers, I'd say, you know, they brought forth a different ordinance, and they got about 1,200 signatures to get this brought back to council, called direct legislation. And so that came before last night, and they added some things in there, and I think it, there's some council people that were concerned. I initially was very concerned, too, that a 12 to a 15-year-old could operate an ATV while in the presence of or be accompanied by a parent who's could be on a different machine. So they would be operating it themselves. And that concerned me. I brought up, and I've spoke to with the organizers, and last night I brought up, you know, I think about my son who just got his driver's license and all everything he had to do, all the classroom, all the driving with my wife and I, and to drive on our city streets. And now we're going to allow a 12-year-old to operate a machine on our city streets, have to follow the same rules of the road with a certificate. But then I started thinking, well, you know, we allow 8-year-olds with guns in the woods under mentorship, but, you know, a parent could physically grab the gun if they needed to. Or, but then I said, well, really, how many 12-year-olds are going to be out on an ATV with their parents? And, you know, usually by then, because it's allowed on trails and those type of things already, so they're a little more experienced. And so ultimately, it was voted down last night again. Same vote, same two people were in favor and the other six were against. And now it'll go to referendum in November. And so I would think and hope that the organizers will now spend more time educating the public, maybe get on here and kind of talk to people. But, you know, I take an opportunity to correct some untrue or not factual information. The mayor candidate, Tom Hughes, was putting out there this morning that, you know, I had the ability to veto what the council did last night, and that is absolutely incorrect. And and that's the important part. And I'm just going to spend time now from the next month, you know, trying to correct misinformation, because that is factually untrue. You know, if the council would have voted in favor of it, I could have vetoed it. So, but just because a council votes something down doesn't mean you can only vote. You can only veto positive things. Then if I vetoed something, then the council by a 3/4 majority, or a city council, let's say, they would need 6 votes to overturn my veto. So you can only veto things that are in the positive or in the affirmation.
Yeah, I don't know how you can veto something that
wasn't. You can't veto something. So I'd be vetoing something that wasn't allowed already. So it makes no sense.
Just wanted to double that, you know?
Yeah, I get tired of the misinformation out there, because it is just factually untrue. And and it's really disappointing that you know, candidates are putting information that's untrue out there. And it's frustrating.
So one of the things I've learned in this job, I don't have to ask the Chris Matthews hardball questions. I don't have to try to do gotcha journalism. I ask very basic questions, and they give the answers, and the answers are the whatever there is right there in the answer. Like, people will tell you where they stand or how they are about things, especially politicians, especially in politics. I don't think this really applies to people like yourself, Shane, who aren't career politicians or aren't really into this. To be blunt, didn't necessarily want to even be into this. that kind of thing. So, but you're kind of a career politician. They use I a lot, a lot of that. They will, when you ask them a question about their where they stand on an issue, if they talk about their issue, that's one thing. If they immediately project to the other guy and talk about the other person and all that and everything, and they deflect, that's another sign. And one of the biggest signs to me is not understanding the position.
Or even government, or even... Even just basic government, it's just perplexing to me. But, yeah, you know, I agree with you. You know, and It's frustrating. And so
we can't afford to have people in any position, no matter what, how small the town is or how big it is or anything, from Wisconsin Rapids to the mayor of New York. We cannot afford to have people in these positions that, one, do not understand the job, all the technicalities and all the difficulties of that job and the logistics and all of that. And people that want this to get their 15 seconds of fame, go join a reality show. Right, well, exactly. There's a billion of them out there. I'm sure you can find one that'll take you. And if you have a cause that you care about, going back to what I was saying with that, there is social media. Yep. But you lose. Now, even if somebody is on the, because I'm on the, I have not enough information and have not ATV'd enough and all that to really give an opinion or anything strong about that particular topic. But when it, like something like that, if you care about that topic and you're promoting that topic, you only lose people if you're not being factual. Right. Double check. You have to triple check and quadruple check your information nowadays. Because the second somebody catches you in something that isn't true, you immediately start losing people, even people on your side, even people that want to believe in you.
Yeah, it's amazing that the organizers of the ATV, you know, I'll just say Brian and Maddie, is, you know, they provide so many statistics and they do so much research. And even going through it and taking the signatures they got, comparing it to voter lists to find out the percentage of those people that are voters. And, you know, and that's, you got nothing respect for that, you know, because they are actually researching, providing statistics. And, you know, and, but it still comes down to, like they said last night, you know, no matter what the experts say, it still comes down to people deciding what they feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. The experts all, you know, I respect our department heads and I respect their knowledge, but, you know, for me, it's usually taking in that information as an information source so I can make a decision. But I'm not going to make a decision just because they tell me so. You know, you need to apply many things to the information you're getting and your own morals and your own personal opinions with the facts. And so you just can't just go with it because they're the expert.
What is next for this proposal?
So, yeah, I think now it's just going to be education until November, and then obviously November is going to be a huge turnout. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what the community decides. And I think it'll really be based on understanding what the ordinance is and what it's going to mean. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I talked to the mayor from Marshfield, and I don't know if I brought it up to you before, but because we have a chicken ordinance in town, and we've had it for decades. Yeah, you can have chickens, and they got to be hens, and you got to go through a process. And so Lois and I were talking, because they have the ATV ordinance, and they couldn't for the life of them get a chicken ordinance passed in Marshfield, but they have this ATV, and I'm like, yeah, we've had a chicken ordinance forever, but we can't get this right. It just makes no sense that, you know, Marshfield, you can ride around in Marshfield, it's okay, but
that's how you get these things passed. Say that your rival city is doing something, right, and immediately all the old high school rivalries and everything will start. Well, wait a minute, they're doing that over there. We're going to definitely do it.
But I'm just thinking about chickens are no big deal. You don't really get any complaints about it. You can have some hens, you can have your chickens, and it's no big deal, but in Marshfield it was. And yeah, we have the same issue with ATVs here. And I think, I don't know, you know, I think people think it's going to be a racetrack. And for me, I just look at it as another mode of transportation. You know, you could drive e-bikes, you could drive all spiders, you could drive motorcycles, enduros, you name it. And I just look at it as another mode of transportation. And yeah, you can go off-road with them, but you can go off-road with trucks and everything else. I don't know.
It'd be interesting.
We're recreational Central Wisconsin, and
and that's a key part too of the bringing people to this town and bringing visitors to this town and to this area. And with the winter we have had, I mean, that's rough. Looking for any opportunities for people to be able to bring more of that in, that seems like a really positive for any community.
Yeah, and couple weeks ago, I was up ice fishing in Tomahawk, and they had ice everywhere, but there was no snow, and it was, you know, it's snowmobile capital up there.
Yeah.
But they ended up having a UTV convention up there, and there was just hundreds and hundreds of UTV people. And they were in the eating establishments and all over, and it was a good thing, you know. And I think potentially, you know, you could have something like that located centrally in Wisconsin, and the businesses would definitely benefit from that. And
We'll be definitely paying close attention and covering that story. We're speaking with Mayor Shane Blazer with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Just as in the last couple of minutes, Shane, just some real quick stuff. I know that there is the Bridge Lights project that you've been it's kind of a passion project of yours. How is that developing?
Yeah, time always goes so fast with us. So, a Bridge Light, I met with our city engineer together to get the bid documents together. So hopefully we'll get that out for bid. Cool. And we'll see what the numbers come back at and see whether where the council feels comfortable. But it'd be using TIF money, and TIF money needs to be used, or it's part of the TIF plan. And so I think it fits right in there. But we need extra money because we need to make sure we have money to fix the river wall because there's mm-hmm. issues there. Mm-hmm. And also we're working on cleaning up the foundry site over off the expressway there. We can use some of that money for a manch there. But it's pretty healthy TIF, and I think it'd be a great project if it financially makes sense.
And hopefully, here's hoping it does too. The few people that I've talked to about it and people that have asked me about it and everything seem really excited about the idea. It seems like a really nice thing to add to our bridges.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal. You can set programs for different lightings, different seasons. And, Green Bay, we're kind of modeling after Green Bay. They have a couple of three bridges lit there. So we're kind of building off our bid documents kind of the way Green Bay did. And so some different options, and which would be different costs. And
that's a great thing to note, too, if people out there are kind of curious and looking for an example, that there you go. There's the great example of that, and it's a local one, too, and something you can find. I found online. I was able to see pictures of that and everything, and it looks really cool.
Yeah, it'd be really neat.
The citizens in that area, in the comments I was reading in the article, they found, one person was talking about a 4th of July event that they hadn't been to in years, but they came to because of the lights and really found themselves enjoying it. It kind of brought a new life to the event, and this is just the stuff that we're thinking of. With projects like this, I always love the idea of, well, there's stuff that we are not even thinking of yet. You don't think of until they're actually up and running and stuff. Yeah. So that'd be fun.
Yeah, green for St. Patrick's Day, red and white, just endless Christmas. And
can have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Wrapping up, I wanted to touch on 2-1-1 Day and the importance of that in our community.
Yeah, 2-1-1 is a very important ability or asset or option
resource.
For resource. Yeah, thank you for people in the community with all sorts of questions, and it's easy to dial, and they can really help answer a lot of those questions that you might have in the community.
We appreciate those proclamations, and they give us an opportunity not only, I think, for people to understand 2-1-1, especially if you don't know what it is or new to town or something, but kind of also even those of us that know what it is give I haven't appreciated 2-1-1 in a while, or I haven't called 2-1-1 in a while or anything. I journalistically should mention, if I don't mention this, my big sister Terry will probably tie my arm behind my back or something. Terry, so she's gonna be in on Friday, so I gotta get this in. I bring her up, and I bring up the United Way though because of the impact that they have in this community, and I think that that's a big part of what 2-1-1 represents. It is a resource, and it is a wonderful one. But I think when I think of 2-1-1, I immediately think of the United Way, and that just reminds a lot of our community of the impact they make in this area.
Yeah, Terry over at United Way and their team over there, it's an asset to the organization or to the community and what they do and all the things they're involved in.
Shane, appreciate the time and appreciate how you've taken these last couple of months, the way your approach and what you're doing with this, and the way that you're looking to handle you're at the end of your run here and everything. It's not just me speaking here. I know that I've talked to many people in the community that feel very similar, and we've really appreciated your run here. You are going to be remembered as one of the perfect mayor for what we have been through in the last 5 to 10 years.
You always say that hopefully the mayor at that time is what the community needed, and I guess not myself now. I need something else, and I think it's a good direction for the community to take. Time to hand it off.
Yeah, I get that. And then we can start doing our sports show together.
Or do the old mayor show or something like
that. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, let's bring it up.
Oh, what are they up to now,
I like that idea. Shane, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more, and get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Yeah, you can go through, you can email mayor at wirapids.org, or you can call our phone at 715-421-8202, or go to the website.
Appreciate you, sir. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, James.
And thank you to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate you guys as well. Be sure to subscribe to their YouTube page. We'll be back with more Morning Midday Magazine right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.